Tom Weber on NPR News. Do not worry. Technology gifts are not scary. Even the relative who's afraid of their router could use some new tech to make their lives easier. And even if you're not buying gifts this season, this is a time when a lot of new things are available. So we thought we'd bring you up to speed on what's out there. And maybe you should go get something for yourself. You deserve it. A look now with two guests about what to buy, maybe what to avoid as well this holiday season. Haley Tsukuyama is a technology reporter for The Washington Post. She's based in San Francisco, but she is a Bloomington Jefferson High grad. Go Jaguars, Haley. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Riley is here in studio, managing editor of the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal. You're not a Jaguar, are you?
No.
Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it. Of course, your questions are key here. Maybe someone you know wants this or that and you have no idea what it is. Don't worry. Give us a call with your questions. 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1 and don't call or text if you're driving. So Haley, let's just start. I'll start with Haley and then I'll come to you, Mark, with just what are the big reveals for this shopping season? What are the hot items out there that are just getting the most attention? Haley?
Sure. I think you have to go to something like the iPhone 10 or the iPhone X, as a lot of people call it. Sort of these big smartphone, reveals that we've done in the fall. You know, all gearing up for the holiday season. So, I think that would have to be probably my number one.
Mark, what are you looking at?
Another technology that's finally come around and gotten enough traction and sort of is fully baked is the collection of smart speakers. Whether it's Amazon has the Echo, Google Home, Apple will have its HomePod coming out next year. These are all devices that sort of marry the interactive assistant that people are familiar with on their smartphones and basically incorporate them into a house.
And it's voice activated, right?
All voice activated.
So you say,
right.
Hey, I want to listen to the news, and then there's NPR News right on the phone with us.
Right. Or you could call up your digital music library. You can also train these speakers to do different things. Amazon calls it skills, but basically they're apps for your smart speaker. You could get it to order your pizza or listen for noise in the house, and if it hears anything, it'll start barking like a dog to scare away an intruder. that's something else. I wouldn't actually buy any of these as a gift for someone though, because it's kind of like buying somebody a deep fryer. It implies a lot about lifestyle choices that they might not, be down with.
Oh, Haley, do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think, if you're ready to buy a smart speaker for yourself, then that's one thing, or, for your own home. I think you're absolutely right that, it's sort of like getting someone a pet.
Hey,
a little more maintenance than
surprise. Here's a rabbit, right? And then you go for it. But I'm just curious, Haley. I mean, I don't know if there's any way to know as we look at sales at this point in the season, but you think of the technology of smartphones, you think of tablets. I'm just thinking in that kind of media versus these smart speakers. Are we still a phone and tablet world, or are we really moving into speakers maybe faster than we thought?
That's an interesting question. I think looking at, what we've seen from Black Friday and Cyber Monday, it's a lot of, there's a lot of growth for these smart speakers. A lot of people are picking them up. The deals are very good for the holiday season. It's certainly not as prevalent as really smartphones. Smartphones are still a primary kind of device for everyone now. Whether that will remain the case for the next few years, we don't know.
Very good. Do you want to add anything to that, Mark?
I would wait for to see how things happen in the next year when Apple rolls out its own device. Then you'll wind up having each tech ecosystem will have its own smart speaker
set of
set
products.
whether you're a Google person or a Microsoft person or an Apple person or some agnostic, so the next year or two will sort of show everybody how this thing is steering.
This is really interesting because you look at the timelines and the histories of these products. You remember when the first iPhone came out now 10 plus years ago. And so if you were on this show 10 years ago, you might have said something similar. This smartphone idea is very new. Let's give it a season. Let's maybe skip this season and go next year because it has to feel itself out, right? I mean, is that the theme of what you're going for with these smart speakers?
Definitely. I'm not a huge early adopter myself. Yeah. And I am on record as saying a long time ago that camera phones would never take off.
So you're useless.
So don't trust me.
Yeah, so don't trust this guy.
but that was before the iPhone.
Before the iPhone. Very good. Mark Riley here from the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal. Haley Tsukuyama from the Washington Post, based in San Francisco, by way of Minnesota here, a native here of the Twin Cities. We're taking your calls and your questions, too. Just opening it up to you as well. What do you want to know? Maybe you have a list, something on your list. You don't know anything about it. 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000. Haley, were you going to add something in there? I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, certainly the way that early camera phones looked, and the way that they look now, phones with cameras look now, I don't think you can be blamed for not thinking that.
I'll tell you, though, cameras on the phones now make the most pristine photos. They are phenomenal cameras.
Wonderful. And you can make them even better with, some additional lenses or, mm-hmm. There are enough, accessories to the, to the base camera phone.
Right.
That you can do almost anything with them.
All right. Let's go to the phones here. Nancy is in Plymouth. Hi, Nancy. What do you want to know about today?
I'm curious about virtual reality glasses that you put on. If they're appropriate for middle school age children, and what they actually do with them. Do they just have to be used with games, or how are they used?
Good question. Haley, do you know that?
Yeah, I can answer that.
Okay, go for it.
So the virtual reality headsets themselves, in a lot of cases, the main use is really games. And so it's sort of a question of whether the game is appropriate, age appropriate in that case. If you are worried about, it is a screen close to your face, so, you might want to limit time a little bit. I personally get a little claustrophobic if I play for more than about an hour.
Yeah.
And so there are a couple options. The PlayStation VR works with the PlayStation console, which, some people may have in their homes. And then, you can use that with certain games, and you should have a list of games that it'll work with when you're looking at the headset. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought there, Haley.
Sure. And then I was just going to say, you can also hook them up to sort of higher-end PCs. If you have a gaming-quality PC, then you can buy a headset to work with that, and then there will be more games available there.
Mark, I'm wondering if you see virtual reality glasses in the same context that maybe you see the smart speakers, or maybe the virtual reality is a little farther along, and we can start jumping into that game.
I would actually say that the keep in mind with what I said about the camera phones.
We have you on record. We'll bring you back in 5 years.
I would say that that VR is certainly going to come, and it's certainly going to develop. I would say that it's probably, if I was making a choice between two gifts, I would, wait a year on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are going to do it with something like the PlayStation, where it's it's an add-on to an existing system. And if it turns out that, there aren't that many great games for it, well, you still got the PlayStation.
Exactly. So you're saying go into it thinking of buying the gaming system first, and if it happens to have the virtual reality, well, great.
That's right. At this point, it's a great accessory.
That's a nice add-on.
I mean, but there are, already, some dynamite applications for VR that, apart from, games and that sort of thing. Fairview Health, its senior care center, Ebenezer, is using VR systems in at least one of its facilities. Basically, they're trying to study whether letting senior residents use VR to you know, basically get out into places where they can't get out anymore, will improve their quality of life. And so far, they've been getting some pretty good, pretty good results. It's we just did a story about it this week, and you know, it's really interesting. The residents are totally down for it. You know, they're excited to try tech that their grandkids don't have yet.
But you can take a walk in the woods even if you're confined, for example, to a wheelchair.
Right. Yeah. So there's a ton of possibility, and it's totally going to happen. It's just a question of when.
Very good. Melissa is in Minneapolis. Hi, Melissa. What's your question here for our guests?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I would love to get some input into 3D printers. I've got two sons, and they've had some experience working with those in the past. So I'm looking for something kind of on an entry level to an intermediate level. And I have thus far narrowed my choices down to a FlashForge Creator Pro, or I'm probably mispronouncing this, but a Kidi Tech 1. I'm certainly open to anything else. I would love to hear what you have to say. The Kidi Tech 1 is currently priced at $630, whereas the FlashForge Creator Pro is $800.
Wow, you've done your homework, Melissa. I'm impressed. Mark, you wanna jump in there?
Right. I at least know the brands, and you know, I've also done some just review shopping of those sorts of things in the past as well. It's it's more. Both of them are more than I want to spend, but I don't really have any firsthand experience with either of those. But I've read some good stuff about both, and it is a really great technology to get into. Some of my my daughter's classmates have. The Forge one that you had mentioned,
that you talked about
and he's done some made some projects, little add-ons for the school's robotics club, and you can do dynamite stuff.
So is this a printer that your child's classmate
friend
has at home, or is this
at
school?
No, it's an at home.
It's an at home thing. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Haley, what about 3D printers? What do you know about them?
I admit I haven't done a lot of research on them this season, so I don't feel really great giving advice, but I think it's a very cool technology.
My brother has done a little, I don't think he owns one, but he sent me videos of them just in action. I think he just likes setting up something so that it actually does the printing. I don't think he cares about the final product.
He just likes watching
it. Because watching it is kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. It's like watching the mini donuts being made at the state fair. very good. Back to the phones here. 1-800-242-2828. Holly is in Lakeville. Hi, Holly. What do you want to know here today?
Hi, Tom. I would love some advice on buying a cell phone for myself. I have a flip phone, but I am in a dead zone, and I have to go outside to make my phone work right, which is really inconvenient in the dead of winter. I'm ready to invest, but I don't want to buy either a service or a new phone without knowing that it's going to work in my particular spot.
Oh, really good question. So, Holly, so you've never had a smartphone, is that right?
No.
So you're finally leaving the flip phone world, which is fine.
I'm ready, but I just need more confidence that it's going to work.
Yeah, no, this is such a good question, Mark, because we should remember, first of all, that there are still plenty of people who don't have a smartphone. And so this is a really big moment, and she's worried about whether it's even going to work in her own house. What would you say about that? She doesn't even want a recommendation from you about a phone. I think she's talking more about the service.
Right, and I think that an important thing to keep in mind is that a smartphone, at least most smartphones, aren't any better at being phones than the flip phone that you're currently using. Mm-hmm. So, first thing I would do is talk to neighbors to see if there's any other provider that can get decent service there. Second thing I would consider is maybe bagging the use of using a phone as a traditional phone and installing a app on it that you could then call via Wi-Fi while you're in the house.
Yeah.
So you set up assuming you can get decent internet connection within your house. You then talk, whether it's via Google Voice or Skype or whatever, through the Wi-Fi network, and then through your internet connection rather than relying on a wireless provider that doesn't seem to be delivering in your area.
And I just want to make sure, Holly, that you understood what we were talking about. First of all, do you have Wi-Fi in your house? Do you have
internet? I do.
Okay. So did you follow what he said there? You know, if you buy, for example, an iPhone, there's an app called FaceTime where you can make the call, but you're not actually making it through the phone lines. You're making it through the internet. And if your Wi-Fi reception is great in your house, then the call should sound good too as well.
I'm glad you clarified that because I was not aware of that.
Very good. Well, again, I think I like Mark's advice to talk to your neighbors.
Yes.
Which service provider do they have? And then just talk to them too about how much they use their phone. I think you might find that once you get the smartphone, Holly, you're not going to use it as a phone very much. That's certainly something that happens, but definitely good luck to you as well there. Let's go to Gordon, who's in Bloomington. Hey, I'm going to throw this question to Haley because she went to Bloomington High. So, Gordon, what's your question here today?
Well, my question is sort of peripheral to the thrust of the conversation today, but I'm wondering about tech journalism. We just had a discussion about, you know, the details of the tax bill, and there's a lot of skepticism on behalf of journalists about stuff like that, but I see tech journalism as being very sort of unskeptical and not very balanced. And I'm wondering how the tech journalists in the room feel about that aspect of the career. And how do you, I wrote a letter to you guys at Public Radio there for covering the launch of the iPhone 10, but not having covered any other smartphone from anybody but Apple going back in your archives, as far as I could see. And that strikes me as, you know, not being up to your standards on, say, political journalism.
Gordon, thanks for the question there. Haley, how long have you been a tech reporter now? A few years now, right? So this question, I'm sure, has popped up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually 7 years. Yesterday was my anniversary.
Oh, congrats.
At the Post. Thanks. I mean, I think it's a great question. And I think, you know, there are different strands of tech journalism, right? And I think you're right in that a lot of excitement over products, you know, sometimes that can come out not sounding very critical. But I think we've also seen, we listen to our readers, especially at the Post, and so we've heard a lot of questions about privacy and security and, you know, the power of these tech companies. And those are certainly all themes that, you know, that we look at. And even in writing reviews, right, we like to consider the privacy implications or the security implications of the product. And so I think tech journalists could be doing a lot better. And I think it's something we certainly have to keep thinking about.
What would you add to that, Mark?
Yeah, I think you can find cheerleading in any field of journalism, sports, entertainment. Pick one.
In sports, the phrase is "you're a homer," right? That's
yeah, sure.
That's a very well-known word for sure.
And also, you can find real skeptical journalism in sports and entertainment, and of course, technology. I think you just have to, make sure, vet your source, mm-hmm. If they're not delivering, skeptical coverage or balanced coverage, look around, find a new one.
Therese has a question on Twitter here about smart beanies that have headphones built inside a hat. I've never heard of that. The closest I know about that is how the quarterbacks have headphones in their helmets
sure.
So they can take the plays. But Haley, do you know about that?
So I have heard of, earmuffs with headphones in them. My experience is that the sound quality on those isn't that great, but there are a lot of wireless earbuds that are coming out this season and that we've seen coming out over the past year. And so that might be a good alternative if you're bundling up against the cold in Minnesota and you want to listen to your music.
Smart beanie would be a new one, but I'm picturing the Calvin and Hobbes, cartoon with the little propeller hat. Wearable technology basically clothes or other sorts of apparel with tech built into it is something that apparel makers are at least trying to sell. Nike is doing it a lot. They've basically incorporated, technology into various jerseys and that sort of thing. So I haven't seen the beanie one, but I'm not surprised that it's out there.
And we've come a long way from the Christmas sweater that has the lights
that light up
onto it and things like that. We're taking your calls here with Mark Riley from the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal. Haley Tsukuyama is from the Washington Post, technology reporter there. She joins us from San Francisco. And again, your question's at 1-800-242-2828. Jenny is in Dayton, Minnesota. Hi, Jenny. What's your question here today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My son is 5, and he has expressed interest in having a robot toy for Christmas. So I was wondering if you have any recommendations as far as that goes.
Well, that's a good question. Haley, any robots out there that you like?
Sure. So I'm a fan of the Sphero robots. They're just they have a couple of them, but the simplest one is just a little ball that you can roll around and control with your phone. And they also have a pretty good coding curriculum that goes along with them, if that is something that you're interested in. So I would also say Lego has a pretty good robotics one.
Oh, they
do. If that's something.
And Sphero, that's S-P-I-R-O, is that right?
Sphero, S-P-H-E-R-O.
Got it. Yep. All right, the different kinds of spheres here in the world as well.
That's right.
Let's go to Kay in Minneapolis. Hi, Kay. What's your question today?
Hello. I have on my Christmas list the Epson Fast Photo because I have a lot of photos from my parents and grandparents, great-grandparents that need to be scanned. Mm-hmm. It runs about $550. I figure break-even point, I need to have about, I don't know, 1,200, 1,300 pictures to go through there. So wondering, and there only seems to be one option out there, and that's this Epson Fast Photo. So wondering what you think about that, or if it's better to just bring the boxes to have them scanned.
Mm.
And then if I do get this Fast Photo, what is the best way to clean the photos to get the dust off?
Oh, wow. Those are three really good questions. Mark, do you know about the Fast Photo?
Let's see. I don't know about that particular one. I do know that, you know, there are certainly other options you could do for yourself, just buying a, combination printer, copier, scanner is another way you could do it. I have one of those and scanned in a bunch of old photos. My parents did the second option. Send all the stuff to a service.
Yeah, right.
They were done a lot faster than I was. So if there's a lot of photos, I might go that route.
You might think of the service. Haley, what do you think about that?
If you're determined enough, I think, congratulations, because I think I have got a lot of photos that I want to scan in. But in terms of cleaning, there should be generally speaking, with scanners like that, there's a microfiber cloth that comes with it, and you should just be able to kind of wipe everything down.
You know, my issue with my family isn't the prints, it's the slides, like back from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually did that where we sent off a couple hundred slides. It was pretty expensive too, but how you get slides into digital photos is still quite a perplexing thing.
And slides are rough. Yeah. You'd need a very specialized piece of equipment to do it. That was the reason they wound up using the service was all of the hundreds of slides.
Because they had the slides too.
Yeah.
Well, if you have slides in your basement, just know that that might be the way to go. Let's go out to Elk River here. Mark is on the phone. Hi, Mark. What do you want to know about today?
Thanks for taking my call. One of the things that has excited me the most this year, hearing about technology, is e-bikes. They appeal to me from the standpoint of being able to get some exercise, but also if you're out riding a bike for an older guy like me, if I run into a bad headwind or a big hill or something like that, there's assist that you can get. So my question is, do these things really do what they say they're going to do? And is there any downside that I'm not seeing to them?
And Mark, just to clarify, what is it that they purport to do, especially with the headwind? Is it like a little motor, like you become a little scooter kind of a thing?
Yeah. It has an electric motor. Supposedly with the advancement that we've seen with electric cars, the batteries now are more efficient in a battery and can power a small motor. And consequently, you have, as I understand it, three different choices. You can have no assist, so you can use it for regular exercise. You can have some assist, or you can let it take over and completely propel you forward.
Hmm. Do you know about these, Mark?
Yeah. And I bike to work a lot, and so a lot of these people have passed me on my way. But the battery technology has come a long way, and a lot of the companies that make commuter bikes have one or two offerings of basically he described it exactly right. It's a tiny little electric motor that you can switch either on, off, or partway on. If you're going up a hill, if you're just looking, if you're tired, and they work pretty well. Obviously, it's going to depend on the manufacturer, but they seem to be catching on a lot this year.
That is very interesting. It's interesting. That's on the, I guess, more non-traditional kind of tech items, Haley. And one of the things I found that's completely quirky, I like to go camping a lot, and I found this item that I'm not sure I actually want, but it's a small container where you can start a small fire, kind of in the spirit of how you can get a little propane tank to heat up coffee in the morning. But you burn twigs in this, and the energy in this fire, it's a little canister, actually then connects to something called a BioLite, which produces power so that you can charge your phone while you're out in the middle of the woods. And I kind of feel like in describing that, I crossed some kind of Rubicon there, because I'm starting a fire in nature, but it's creating energy so that I can charge my smartphone while I'm in the middle of nowhere. But man, there's no lack of gizmos like that for sure. You're not aware of this camp stove thing, are you?
I'm not. I have to say that's pretty specialized. But you're absolutely right that we're seeing tech kind of creep into a lot of different areas that we haven't seen it be in before. And it's I like it. It's an acknowledgement that we're all tied to our cell phones, but we still have other things we like to do too.
That's right. Well, let me talk for a moment before I let you go here. We have about 5 minutes left, because you talked about privacy and you've covered that. And there is this world of tech that is broadly called the Internet of Things. And I was actually just talking about this morning with a coworker who has set up the Wi-Fi and the television to her phone so that when she knows that the kids are home, if she doesn't want them watching TV, she can actually turn off the TV or even the Wi-Fi from here while she's at work. But there has been a conversation, I think this actually happened with some of the gaming systems, about how those could be hacked potentially, whether they actually have passwords, and what concerns we should have about privacy. What would you say about that, Haley?
Well, I would say, certainly hacking is a concern, with IoT, sort of Internet of Things devices. These are, things that have chips in them and you can control from your phone in many cases. I would say, it's not so much about taking personal information in that case. It's about sort of taking over the device and using its processing power for something else. But what I would say is, be sure that you, that you are thinking about privacy when you're thinking about connecting something to the internet in your home. And generally, the advice I give is, if it lets you put a password on it, do it. it is annoying to remember passwords, but protect what you can. And if it's really a concern, I think we're going to see security features evolve over the next couple of years. So, that might be something, it might be worth waiting to see sort of what innovations come down the line in that particular sector.
What would you add there, Mark?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely agree. It's just, be mindful about what you're adding to your house.
Yeah.
As Haley mentioned, the real problem is, for most people, is going to be
just that my heat's going up all of a sudden because someone took over it, or
right?
Something
or
like that.
or that big denial of service attack on the internet,
right.
Last year, a lot of that was driven by all these sort of home device, various unprotected home devices that were then used to help fuel the attack. So it's not really a privacy issue for each homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of
does it help bring down the internet?
Threat, right.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're adding something with a camera, whether that's your Kinect device with the your Xbox, or some of these smart speaker things will have a camera device, some kids' toys have cameras, which, you know, obviously has, you know, a lot of, you know,
issues
for parents.
And I'm wondering if things like that, things like, hey, I can help you, you know, and sometimes it's just an app, so it's not as big of a deal. But sometimes it's this thing of like, I'm going to help you set up so that you can control your lights from home. Is that one of those lifestyle changes that you were saying earlier about smart speakers, you know, that maybe it's not actually a good gift because it's like buying someone a pet? Would you put that in the same category, Mark?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, some people just don't want to run their home like that. Mm-hmm. If it's just not something that they're comfortable doing, whether it's, you know, being able to unlock their garage door, you know, from their phone. For some people, that's, oh, great, I can unlock my garage door with my phone.
Yeah, what a great gift, thanks.
Right. for somebody else, you know, that's a step beyond their comfort level.
Yeah. Let's go, let's try to get in one more call here before the hour ends. Julie is in Minneapolis. Hi, Julie. What's your question here today for our guests?
Hi. Actually, it leads in perfectly to what you guys were just talking
okay,
about.
Great.
And it's not so much a question as a shopping hint or a comment of something I just saw recently. It's this cool thing that's made by a local company called Boveda. And Boveda deals in like cigar maintenance stuff. And it's a smart sensor that syncs up your humidor directly to your smartphone. So like somebody who has a cigar aficionado that they're shopping for, they can get the person who likes cigars can get alerts about what's going on in their humidor or see if the conditions are good or bad. It's a really cool little thing. So it's just another little way tech is reaching into people's hobbies.
Yeah. Wow. You were nodding there. Have you heard of that company?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually have, but basically extend that to anything and everything in your house.
Every single
if it's
thing.
In the humidor, it's pretty much it, you can put them anywhere.
That's a good slogan for the next company. If it's in the humidor, Haley, you can put it anywhere. Haley, any final thoughts here in our last minute? People are maybe heading to the mall right now. They're overwhelmed. We didn't get to their question, but just big picture for what you're seeing this season and what people should think about.
Well, I mean, in terms of tech stocking stuffers, I always recommend, you know, a good pair of headphones, an extra battery pack is something that my sister got me a couple of years ago that I use constantly. So, you know, those are good kind of general thoughts. Tech is very personal, so be sure that you know the person that you're buying for and you know what their priorities are.
Well, thank you so much. Go Jaguars. It's good to have you back here in Minnesota, Haley. Thanks so much for your thoughts here today, and thanks for joining us. Good luck in San Francisco.
Thank you.
And Mark Riley here in studio from the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is NPR News.